Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, like I'm Lara Marie like Shane Hall. Yeah.
Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Then we go with a friend, here we both win.
Hi.
Hotel chilling, yeah, she's sweet.
Hi.
I'm Lara.
I'm Carrie.
And this is
Sexy.
Unique. Podcast.
Regular
ass podcast ass Vanderpump
podcast
Rules
ass
podcasting.
A Vanderpump Rules quarantine edition. Secrets revealed, which not much secrets were revealed.
Maybe
I just have
a
to
few
say.
Secrets were revealed. Honestly, like rewatching the episode to take notes, I realized that it wasn't as good as I truly did think it was. But what was good was great.
What was good was Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie really needs to just like be the star of next season and then have everything revolve around her and like how many people will worship her and how many people will hate her.
Well, I was like, why did they deprive us of the fight between... which we'll talk about later, but between Dana and Charlie, like, I was like, Dana was giving me something other than being like, I'm too above, all, you know, the fray and like the fighting. She was like going into full, you know, defense mode, and she was being like hostile. And I was like, this is actually compelling.
Yeah. And like, if you had that, like, if you wanted to cut the Brett and Max stuff down after their like racist
Please.
Tweets, like, why did you not replace it with all this drama between Charlie and Dana and like Danica? Like, why not just keep Brett and Max in, but every time you see Brett, have Charlie talking shit to him and make him look like an idiot? Like, I really think that Lisa Vanderpump it seems like she has a lot of like alliances, or she stands with Brett and Max hugely, and especially Brett. Like, Brett is like her pet at this point.
Oh, yeah. You know, she went to production and was like, try to make him look good at all costs.
Yeah. Like, I know he made a mistake, darling.
I know he made a mistake, but he's a sweet boy.
Yeah.
He's
I'm like,
new to LA.
Because you need like some butt boy around at all times, like fawning over you. Like, get a grip. You are literally a lady. You are literally a grown ass woman, like truly the most grown a woman can be. You do not need like a Brett hanging around to like make you feel alive.
Just because Ken is like has one toe in like the River Styx doesn't mean that, you know, you doesn't mean you have to surround yourself with like fresh. She's like a vampirex. She's like the Hunger. She's like Catherine Deneuve in the Hunger.
Yeah, I don't trust it. I'm like, what is the deal? Also, like, you could find, like, you would think that Lisa has the wherewithal to just do a quick background check of, like, anyone's social media. Like, I have a friend who, like, can get background checks on anyone. Like, I'll have her, like, run background checks on, like, people all the time. Like, you... No, that's a lie, actually. I just...
I love that. Is she in the CIA? Is she in,
no,
like,
but,
the
like, you can pay... Like, the point is you can pay to, like, a service to just run background on, like, everyone. Like, she found, like, all about, like, Beau's bankruptcy and whatever, and, like...
Oh, yeah. No, there. I have friends that are really good at that. Like, yeah. It's pretty... It's also very accessible.
But you can have, like, someone comb through social media and... decide whether someone's being racist or not. Like, that seems like step one these days.
I mean, in a very dark theory, maybe they knew that and they wanted it to be some kind of drama. I don't know.
Yeah, or in an even darker theory,
they don't care.
And they don't care. I think she truly doesn't care. But, I mean, it seems like she doesn't care that much.
I mean, we can get into it, but I was just like, that 5 minutes of fighting between Dana and Charlie, I was like, this is gold.
Yeah, that was better than like 95% of the entire season of the show.
And it made me actually, I was like, I wanted to see Dana on my screen when she was like that, because she wasn't being like aware of the camera. She was just being like authentically like going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like that's what you sign up for.
Yeah.
Also, really fast, did you see, I guess, Dana and Kara from Vegas were having, like, some kind of exchange
on
Twitter?
On social media? No, I didn't see it.
She said something like, even your bestie Sheena was telling you it's too much. Like, we're used to it. Like, we're used to people trying to get in and, like, start stuff with us. I was like, okay.
You're used to it? Literally, you did that. You literally, like, sucked Peter's dick in the bathroom to, like, get on this show.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Peter, I felt for the first time vindicated in my lust for Peter. I was talking to someone that I trust yesterday, and he agreed. He, out of the blue, we were talking about people we'd fuck on Vanderpump, and one of the first people he said was, he's like, I'm horny for Peter. And I was like, oh my God. Finally, someone, like, I felt seen. And I was very happy because he got it too.
Is he gay?
Yeah.
Okay, the gays have a real lust for Peter. Like, I think that's the only reason Peter has remained on the show is because he has a rabid gay fandom that follows
Maybe.
Him wherever he goes.
I guess he does. He kind of looks like a gay... Like, you'd see him in a gay porn.
He has, like, gay porn energy, for sure. Like, he's beef, like, he's like a kind of beefy, hot...
Long hair.
He's kind of, like... He's virtually hairless from the neck down.
Yeah, he's like Falcon Day era porn, gay porn, like just guys fucking in like a backyard in the hills.
And I could see him like on the dance floor at like a circuit party or something.
With his shirt off.
Shirt off, short shorts, his tank top's like tucked into the back of his shorts.
Oh yeah.
And he's like dancing on the dance floor with his arms up, and then he kind of like pushes his hair behind his ears and he just like smiles, and that's where I really like see Peter in that light. I'm getting Peter chills, like channeling my own energy, and I understand it.
You get it. I think you're onto something though about, I think it's like a gay thing.
Yeah.
That's so
the
funny.
The gays have eyes for Peter.
The gays have eyes. The hills have eyes.
The hills have gays for Peter.
Speaking of gays, it's almost, and speaking of Vanderpump Rules, it's almost Pride Month.
Mm-hmm. What's everyone doing for Pride?
That sounded like I was like segueing into like some kind of ad. I have nothing to say about Pride. I just said it.
I was like, cool.
Imagine. Speaking of Pride, it's always Pride.
As May comes to an end, June begins, and we all know what that means.
I'm confused. It's Pride Month. People are already saying it's Pride Month. I'm like, wait, I thought it was June. What?
Like, no one knows anymore.
There were already like visible gay, you know, gay LGBT spokespeople are already saying Happy Pride Month, and I'm like, okay, are we now saying like the month is starting now and then going like? Is that what they're saying?
June 28th? I like that people are now just taking liberties to skip over the last 4 days of May, and there are certain folks are already living in June.
Well, we can't skip over this specifically the final day of May, because it's your birthday.
The second to last day of May.
Oh, second. Does May have a 31st?
May has 31 days. In a cruel twist.
I didn't know.
Yeah, the lost day. I don't care about May 31st. I just care about May 30th.
But May 30th is like feels final.
Yeah, it's a final. It's when
we could do without the 31st.
Down. I'm neither here nor there. I'm ready to go move on to Pride Month on the 31st.
Happy Pride. I'm like.
It's May.
It's May.
It's still May. We need Robert to weigh in on Twitter.
Oh, Robert on Twitter. I had to unfollow him.
He crossed the line for you?
No, I just like, he's one of those people I feel like I should just watch from afar.
Like you check in with him every once in a while and get like a good hit, but you don't need it constantly. Mm. Okay.
So maybe that. A little too negative. Maybe a little too, like I'm all about like, making fun of people who deserve to be made fun of, but sometimes it's like a little too, but I you know what? I appreciate it. And we need someone like him. So it's a space that he can occupy, and I'm happy for that.
Really quick. I want to shout out Trisha.
I want to shout out Visa MasterCard for sponsoring our Pride on Sexy Unique Podcast. Bank of America, Citibank, and
Bank of America, Citibank, and Chase, Barclays. Sapphire, Barclays. I would love to shout out
Sotheby's,
the credit union, Experian, TransUnion, Sotheby's,
Western Union, PayPal,
and the Golden Corral for sponsoring Pride Month.
And Shakey's Pizza for sponsoring Sex Eating Podcast Pride Vertical.
Pride Month. I'd love to shout out CVS.
CVS. I'd love to shout out Rite Aid. I'm pointing with my toe. I'm going Pride Month. Da da da. CVS.
CVS. Rite Aid.
CVS. Restoration Hardware.
I'd love to Pottery thank West Bond. Elm.
West, I'd like. Oh my God, I'd like to thank West Elm for Pride. I'd like to thank
CB2
Jonathan Adler.
Is huge on Pride. Jonathan Adler, king of Pride.
I'd like to thank Starbucks Coffee Bean, and I'd like to also shout out to
Blue Bottle.
Shout out to Blue Apron. Shout out to
Freshly, Fresh Direct, Whole Foods. Shout out to Ralph's for really bringing it.
Shout out to Trader Joe's. Shout out to Vons.
Shout out to John's.
Shout out to American Airlines. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Frontier. Shout out to Spirit Airlines.
Shout out to Expedia.com for really making Pride Month pop the fuck off this year.
Shout out to Kayak. Shout out to
Holiday Inn.
Holiday
Western,
Inn.
Shout out to Best Western.
Hampton Inn. Shout out to
Airbnb for bringing a lot of love into Pride.
Shout out to Crowne Plaza Hotels and the Marriott.
To Courtyard by Marriott Properties.
Courtyard by Marriott, but not regular Marriott.
Yeah. Courtyard
by Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Hilton Garden Inn.
Yeah. Huge. I love the gardens.
Sorry, what were you going to shout out, actually?
No, I was actually going to shout out Trisha Iglesias and Kayla Ortiz for purchasing birthday items for me.
Unsolicited,
from the wish list and then from just like Sephora. I love it.
Amazing. What was it? Like a makeup?
One was like a really nice, like green, clean 50 SPF sunscreen. That'll come in handy. And then one was this lip balm.
Oh, I want that.
It's really nice. It's the Laneige Berry lip balm and sheet masks for my butt.
Butt sheet masks.
Where you just, I don't know exactly how you keep them on. Like if you just have to lay down and you slap them on for like 20 minutes and you don't move. But I thought they were just regular face sheet masks. And then I was like, that's nice. Like, I love it. But then I looked closer and I was like, oh, they're actually for your ass cheeks. There's one sheet for each cheek.
I love that.
Yeah. So they're really clutch.
So your ass, all summer, your ass is going to be just glistening.
It's going to be Pride ready.
Yeah. my ass is masked up. My
soft,
face, not only is my
and
face
sparkling
masked up,
for Pride,
my ass is masked up.
Mask
I love
on.
That. I want to get
your masks.
That.
Yeah. I didn't even know that they made those, but now I know. Well, I'm going to
get addicted. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Simon he's got it before, but it's this like, I'm going to suggest it to you and everyone listening. It's this like, it's called like Aztec clay.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And you add vinegar.
Best. Add apple cider vinegar. And it's very affordable. It's like $10.
And it's intense.
Yeah. It'll
I did it last
face.
Night.
Isn't it crazy when you take it off, your face gets super red and you're like, what have I done? And then it just is like, it sucked all the dirt out of your pores. You look fantastic.
Yeah. And like, thank you. And like, you just, it actually makes you look younger.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel it like molting on your face. It's like,
yeah,
it goes like
this. It dries you out, and then you just have to like really moisturize.
Dry as hell.
I need to do an Aztec journey. It's hard to wash off, is the only thing, because it just like kind of has gooped up in the sink or whatever. Mm. So sometimes I just have to. Yeah, it's like.
It's a commitment, and it smells like vinegar, which is not my favorite smell.
Yeah, but
you smell like
really
the salad.
Does. It gets the job done.
Yeah. What else happened? Well, we're in week 10 of quarantine, I think.
This is true. This is kind of what hell feels like. Oh my God. Lisa, I figured out what happened. Someone tried to break into Villa.
Someone tried to
break into Pump. And one of the readers was driving by right when that guy was being arrested.
Oh, yeah. She sent us that video.
She sent us the videos of her being like, Lisa's up to no good again. And someone was getting like cuffed and put in a cop car. And then now it's out. But I'm like, I don't trust it. Why are restaurants always getting broken into? Someone broke into Villa Blanca like not too long ago.
Who would want to like break into Villa Blanca?
Literally like a mentally ill person.
I know. I would. I mean, that's literally the last place I would go to if I wanted to break in somewhere.
If you're looking for not like, even expired rosé and old crab meat, go over to Villa Blanca. Break on in.
And like cafeteria seats. The seats in Villa Blanca are like, they're like senior facility home, like
it's very lunch seats. At the nursing home.
Which I've had lunch at nursing homes, they're not that bad, but this
oh no
this
it
is
was
not
the best, one of the best buffets I've ever been to.
And you love a buffet.
We all know about the one thing about me is I love a buffet, and I
you need a glass
going to a regular lunch at the nursing home.
That's crazy. I wonder what they were trying to do in Pump. Also, did you see someone posted that Lala was like at a rave in Arizona?
Lala and Rand ending up in Arizona is like the, it made the most sense. Like, I wasn't even mad when I saw it. I was like, oh yeah, you belong there. Like, you guys are just like Arizonans at heart.
Yeah, they should like live in Scottsdale.
They should just move to Phoenix. They are really like Phoenix energy. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they would be like they're like the wealthiest people or like the most glamorous people yeah. in Phoenix. Like, I feel like they would fully thrive there.
Phoenix society.
No shade on like if you live in Phoenix, like I'm blessings to you, but
blessings.
Like my aunt lives in Phoenix. You have to admit, if you live in Phoenix, you know that Lala and Rand would be like the most glamorous people in your city.
She'd be the talk of the town.
She'd be the toast of Phoenix. Queen of Phoenix.
She has BPE energy. Big Phoenix energy.
Phoenix energy. They are truly a Phoenix power couple.
I'm truly not like I know people from Phoenix. My aunt lives in Phoenix. Like, looks, I've always been curious about Phoenix sandstorms. There was a video a few years ago of a giant inflatable pumpkin around Halloween from like a car dealership, like getting blown away and like bouncing through the streets of Phoenix. And I was all about it. I love Phoenix.
Phoenix,
but Lala,
the last
Lala would,
time I also, was in Phoenix, I really almost melted down about being in Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spend.
I don't want to be
Cole's,
there.
What
I
did Cole Scola say? Oh, Cole, he says, you don't spend time in Phoenix, you lose time.
That would be my Phoenix journey. My Phoenix journey would not be as glamorous as Lala and Rand's. My Phoenix journey would be I've been priced out of California, but can't yeah. live anywhere cold. So I just find myself a desert rat in Phoenix. And like it would be dusty and crusty for me.
Yeah.
Lala and Rand, they are truly the prince and princess of Phoenix.
Yeah. To all the Phoenix listeners, we love you.
We love you so much. Love and light to you.
One of the bachelors is, I think, lived in Big PE, BPE, lived in Scottsdale. Like, that was where he starts out in the beginning. And mm-hmm. and at the end, I think there's, like, seven girls left. This one girl who was, like, from New York and, like, seemed like she went to, like, NYU or something. She had brown hair. She didn't fit in. And she, you thought, like, he really liked her. Like, it could have kept going.
Mm-hmm.
And one day she knocks on his hotel room and starts crying and just goes, I can't live in Scottsdale. She goes, I have to leave. And he goes, okay. And then she just leaves. And I was like, that's queen.
You have to know what you want in this world. There's no shame in really being honest with yourself, taking a long look in the mirror and coming to terms with the fact that you couldn't live in Scottsdale.
Wait, so, okay, so do you know that, like, why were they just, like, at a club? Like, what they're quarantining there? Like, what's going on?
I'm not super following their shenanigans. Like, I randomly will get, like, tagged and stuff. And then I saw that she was, like, sitting on his lap somewhere in Phoenix. Or they were, like, maybe geotagged as being in Arizona. And I just assume that they're in Phoenix because of the BPE they both give off. But, like, I don't know. I really can't with their shenanigans.
I mean, Lala's like a mild,
like, I think,
corona.
Turned into like a corona truther. Rand is trying to make his film.
That's why she's joined QAnon just for like justice for Rand's film.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for that to come out.
Their friendship with Kate Bosworth is truly wild to me.
What the fuck? The only thing I know about Kate Bosworth is that she has two different colored eyes.
Yeah. Forgot that Lala still has a beauty line.
Wait, Well, oh, well, I do know that also Kate Bosworth's husband is like a director.
Yeah, and I think he
is like Franz with Randall Emmett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That might be one of the only people who gives him jobs anymore.
I mean, Randall books.
Randall is constantly working. Say what you will about the man, but he has like a film coming out every year. Are they good? Nah, but are they happening?
Listen, he gets his little fanny in the same group cluster as Scorsese.
He scuttles around.
he's always like the
tortoise in the hare where you're like, okay, Randall, but he's just trudging along in his little tortoise shell and he gets shit done.
Randall pedals his bussy like right onto the Cannes red carpet to the Venice Film Festival. Next to the likes of fucking John Travolta.
Randall's killing
Martin
it.
Martin Scorsese. Didn't Randall produce The Irishman?
Yeah, but The Irishman sucked ass. I'll say it.
I watched 20 minutes and had to turn it off. I'm sorry.
I tried to watch that movie 3 times, and I have never experienced a movie that was so potently like ambionic to me, like where it just put me, it knocked me out. I could not stay awake. I would keep waking up and being like, okay, I'm doing it. And then rewind and be like, okay, I'm locked and loaded. Like, here we go. And then 10 minutes later, I'd be like, I just could not do it.
Big ambient energy.
It was Bae.
I didn't, who was it? It was Bae. Who was it for?
I think it was
for like
for
old, like, boomers, like
boomers and like
straight like people who write for like IndieWire,
I guess. I really am not clear. It felt like it was no Casino.
No way.
It was no Goodfellas.
It was no Departed.
No. And then I just rewatched Departed because I was like, this is really bumming me out, like I need a pick me up. So I just watched Departed instead.
Departed was cool because it felt there was like kind of like a queer element to it.
Yeah, they would have
like
docked.
Damon. I think Damon was gay in the movie, like closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nicholson was gay too.
I think Nicholson was like a hole is a hole.
Yeah,
Damon was like,
fuck me, daddy.
Yeah,
fuck me,
fist me, daddy.
And Leo was like, Vera Farmiga.
Vera Farmiga. I really have yet to truly understand Vera Farmiga, but
I kind of have BVE.
Yeah, Big Vera.
Big Vera. I'm sorry, I can't stop. I have big Vera Farmiga energy today.
Or I'm just sort of like, you're channeling Vera. Like, I like her, but I don't understand.
Talk about someone who books.
She books constantly, but doesn't it feel like she came out of nowhere? Like, I love, and please correct me. Actually, don't correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I'll Google it, but it feels like she just, like, showed up at 35 and was like, I'm Vera Farmiga, and then got cast in everything, and then has, like, fully ruled the world since then.
She did.
And
it's Vera's world, and we're all living in it.
Vera's world, we're all just living in it, and like that's that. And I'm not mad at it because I truly like, as a fellow like middle aged woman,
shut the fuck up.
I'm like, I respect it.
You just went,
that's what Vera does to me.
That's what Vera does when she's alone. She goes,
is
Vera.
I'm afraid that I'm gonna look over and she'll be standing at my window right now going,
she did just arrive. Well, she was in The Departed. I think that was like her first. Oh no, my god, you know what movie she was in first?
What?
Because I just rewatched it, The Manchurian Candidate, Jonathan Demme's remake with Meryl Streep and Denzel.
Oh,
she plays a minor role but a significant role. And she has a watery death in that movie.
Okay.
Alongside John Voight at the hands of Liev Schreiber.
Wait, and so she just like blew the fuck up after that.
And then she was in The Departed, and then she was in Up in the Air.
Oh, yeah. Which
she was nominated for an Oscar for. So that was her. That was Vera's year. That was the movie that like every, like fucking Anna Kendrick got an Oscar nomination and like.
Like I liked that movie a lot, but I will always resent it for putting Anna Kendrick on the map. I have not been able to go back and like truly enjoy it because of my feelings of resentment.
You know what I'll say? My comment about Anna Kendrick is for the last, let me check. I need to confirm it's still like this. She, hold please.
Mm-hmm. She is big on yes! energy too.
Anna Kendrick, her Twitter header photo is like a stock photo of a lighthouse. It's been like that since she made a Twitter, and it's one of my greatest. Yeah.
I'm looking.
It's truly sinister.
That's a message.
That is a message, and she's been sending it for the last like decade, and no one's taken notice.
Hmm.
And this is her bio. Pale, awkward, and very, very small.
She is incredibly small. One time I found myself standing next to her in a parking garage, and I was just like,
ow.
Oh. Oh. Hope.
Like, Laura, you went like this. You went, oh. Oh.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Oh, no. I picked her up by her little shirt shoulders, and I was like, excuse me. And then placed her down.
Why were you in a garage with Anna Kendrick?
I was at some, I think it was like a Producers Guild event or something, like a screening of some sort. There was some sort of industry-esque event, and then we both found ourselves in a parking garage, and I was like, oh, ooh.
Oh. That's me every time I see a celebrity in LA. Oh. Oh. Whoa.
I had the same reaction when I saw Kate Bosworth once at Barney's, who truly was the thinnest person I've ever seen IRL. Like, at first I was just like, who is this thinnest person I've ever seen? And I was like, it's Kate Bosworth. And I went,
oh. Oh. Oh.
Gee.
Oh. Oh.
Okay.
Just seeing someone like mildly famous just be like,
I can't handle
I'm imagining Zeke what I would do if I came across Anna Kendrick in a parking garage. I think would go, oh. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, my stomach hurts.
I'm crying. I have no choice but to react in that way. I can't handle it.
Oh, I don't.
Ooh. Ooh.
That was me when I walked by James Franco outside of Jones. Dave Franco outside of Jones. On Santa Monica and Formosa, I went, oh,
ooh.
He walked by me and got into his car, and I went, oh, ah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. There are some celebrities that just bring out the Kim Richards within, like where you go full Kim whenever you see them, and those are those people. Oh. Ah.
Yeah. Who's this thinnest person? Oh, it's Kate Bosworth.
Ah! Truly, I've never again seen someone. So, it was so singular, burn into.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I've.
It was like, ooh, me big. You little.
Ooh, you 23, me 31.
You tiny, me huge. Ooh,
yay. Ooh, bye. Ah, you have a full set of hair, and I take Propecia.
Ooh,
ooh. Ooh, I'm on Lexapro.
You have purse. Ye and me have clutch.
Yeah, your brain goes into like caveman talk. You're like, oh, base human talk.
Full Tarzan.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh,
ooh, ooh. Oh my God.
What?
Lars.
I can't. Everyone listening to, I think, knows what we're talking about. There's just certain people.
Listen, you know if you know, like, and then you know what we're talking.
You know what we're talking.
Me at the Grove seeing Anna Kendrick. Ooh, yikes. I gotta get out of here. Oh no.
You fully, like, limbo walk away.
Oh. I do like a... I do like a little like a little tap dance. Yeah, it's like what else are you gonna do if you see Kate Bosworth in public? You just go, ah.
Ooh, it really throws you, takes you by surprise.
Yeah. Oh yikes.
Whoa. These ladies just standing around.
That's being what so I call small. That. Yep, that's definitely a lady.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yee. Yee. Whoa. Hey.
Oh my God. We need to be like hospitalized. Oh. All right, let's keep going. Sorry.
Okay. No, you're fine.
So we just took a little, Lauren and I just took a 2 minute breather because we just got possessed.
Possessed by the ooh energy. Needed to bring it down a notch.
Listen, there's a place of nunca, there's a place of woo, and there's also a place of oh.
Ooh. Ooh. And that's where we went into.
Listen, I've been in a place of woo since I moved to LA.
Yeah, I've I'm just like basically existing in that place now.
Oh, especially in Quar.
Basis. Yeah, especially Quar has really brought that side out of me.
Damn.
So,
well, speaking of quarantine, so this
whole cast has been quarantined. It's really weird to see, to like know that they are going through the same-ish things that we're going through. Like, I don't
think of
them being, like, quarantined.
No, they're, like, I can see them, like, still doing errands.
Yeah.
You know?
I think of them, like, wreaking havoc on the world no matter what's happening.
I love Lisa in the beginning going, hello, can you hear me?
Her face that she makes when she's trying to figure out how to FaceTime someone is going,
oh. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
What's going
hi.
On over there?
She hi, shouts.
Hi.
Yeah, and I was like, say what you will about Katie, but her Secrets Revealed makeup is on point.
Katie looks amazing.
She looks incredible.
Didn't she post about like how she's kind of like gotten back into shape and...
I guess she met a nutritionist and or met with a nutritionist and then lost 20 pounds. I'm like, honey, give me his number.
Yeah, me too. I was inspired by that information.
Me too.
Because that's like, I think I was reading that at the time where I was like, I have to give Shira up.
Mm-hmm.
So Thank you, Katie. Katie looks great. She looks like she's thriving.
Yeah, it seems good. Things seem well for them. And we find out that the first secret that's revealed is the moment that Tom made her a truly disgusting fish dinner for their date night.
It was like kind of cute and hot to see him making food, but the bar is very low with him.
Raw.
Yeah, it looked like place of salmonella.
Yeah, I was like, I don't trust this. And I think he knew it because he just ordered fried chicken as a backup. And then Katie goes, this is the most romantic shit ever. I was like,
Well, Schwartz also reveals that they haven't had sex in like 5 months.
Did he say 5 months?
Yeah.
No.
He says we've been in the house for 5 months and we still haven't christened it yet. So Tom is like, he cooks her this dinner. He puts balloons everywhere. He like makes it cute. He's planning on like setting the mood so they can fuck. And it all backfires because even though Katie is definitely like charmed by it, when they get the hot wings, Tom's sensitive mouth can't handle the heat. Mm-mm. And he has sort of like a reaction to the heat. And he immediately goes, well, that's it. I definitely can't have sex now.
He sabotaged that.
Yeah. And then Katie goes, I guess we could just go lie in our bed and lay in our bed and look at our phones. And I was like, I mean, I do that sometimes, but it's like,
yeah, I mean, there's a no time and a place.
There's just, I mean, we kind of reveal that, I mean, they're like basically like openly admit that they just aren't like sexually attracted to each other.
Yeah, that they just, like, Katie later, she's like, Tom and I, we just kick it. We, like, lay around. She was like, Tom's idea of romance is competitive eating followed by, like, a coma. But I'm also like, I think if you have not had sex with your significant other in 5 months, there's a big problem.
Yeah. I think there's an intimacy issue, and there's also, like, a lack of something going on.
Yeah, like that's, I think it's normal in the sense that a lot of people fall into those patterns after you're with someone a long time. Like it's hard to like get all revved up to like have sex with them because it just is like that you're just fucking the same person forever. But like still.
No, it's
you
and
have
also
to
like
kind of break yourself out of that pattern.
And you would think like, I would think like buying a new house, like the first house you've ever owned, like that would get me horny.
Yeah. But neither of them is particularly like sexy
sexual
and sexual. You know what I mean? Like you even look at their kind of the home that they make for themselves and like the decorations that he buys. Like it's all very like children's section of Target.
Yeah. And I think their baby voice stuff, like I think it all sort of, I think it all kind of piles on top of each other that like this is like a fairly sexless, like all relationships, the sex drive, like for most, I think, like you said earlier, like kind of lessens over time, mm-hmm. But you still should have moments of like wanting your partner,
mm-hmm.
And they don't seem like they want each other.
No, it seems more like a sandbox playmate than like,
yeah, maybe that works for them. And like I used to think it was just Tom that didn't want, but I think Katie also isn't into him either.
How are you gonna get turned on by Tom Schwartz, who can't even cook a piece of fish?
Yeah, he's pretty inept. And also there's a shot of his like dirty feet.
He's just not like a man. Like, he's not like a man. You don't want to be
no.
Like, it's like, it can, he does have like a boyish attractiveness element of him that's like the kind of guy, but it is like the kind of guy that you like meet at a bar and you're both kind of drunk and like you silly, like sloppy make out. But like, he's not a man. He doesn't know how to like seduce you or like step into his own power. And so it's like, why do I want to like have just like floppy fish sex with this like guy with dirty feet? Like, I'll pass. I too would be like, that's fine. I'll look at my phone.
Yeah, he's Schwartz definitely has like the vibe of like a guy you make out with at Dave Matthews concert.
Yeah.
And like the parking lot. And like then you try to find them again and you just like kind of are like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you like miss wrongly put down his phone number, like his Facebook is private because he's like married, and then you're just like, whatever. I want Katie to get like, I would love for her to get like hit on by just like a hot fucking guy that's like, that takes her out of this marriage. Like, I want her to have an affair and like fall in love with a real man. Like, I want her to fall in love with like, who's that guy? Why can't I think of his name? He's like married to Lisa Bonet now.
Oh, Jason Momoa.
Yeah. Like, I want her to be with like a Jason Momoa type of guy.
Or or someone older and like just like a, who is like self-assured and like can do his own laundry and like can make, you know what I mean? And like, mm-hmm. just like a real man and a man who can like fuck.
Yeah.
Cause Schwartz, I mean, at one point there's like a montage of her being like, yeah, your dick doesn't work.
I think he's like, he seems like a very lazy lover to me. I've always said that. It's very much like you lay there while he like flops on top of you.
Who do you think is the best at fucking in the like of the guys?
Sandoval for sure.
Yeah.
I'll bet James Kennedy is pretty good too when he's not drunk.
I think Peter's weirdly good.
I knew you were going to say that.
And I think Jax has a great dick probably.
I think not. I'm multiple people.
Really? Like,
yeah. When I was doing Pump Podcast, multiple cast members came on and talked about how Jax's dick looks like a melted down volcano.
Oh, so it's like a chody kind of thing.
Well, I think it's like just, it's been worn raw and like kind of, I think also he's like, he doesn't make a lot of bones. I mean, I think he's had like a lot of STDs. So it just is like kind of taken its toll on the dick. They said his dick hole's really big, I think.
His urethra?
Like, I just remember, and I think if you are a patron and you've listened to all these episodes, there's multiple references to Jax's volcano dick.
His cock hole is huge.
His massive urethra.
Literally, that makes sense. I mean, wow. That's,
I mean, he has, I just think
that's why he goes through life knowing that he has a giant urethra.
Yeah, I mean, the chances are, it's like the kind of, it's like the,
I know what you're talking, I can like picture it.
Harvey Weinstein or Jeffrey Epstein dick, where like both of their dicks were like wild, but like they don't care and they still just like fucked whoever.
Yeah,
I think it's a similar dick energy to that. Not that I'm saying that Jax has done any of the things that they've done. I'm just finding like those are the two people that pop into my head with like notable unclear dick energy.
I side note, I started watching the Epstein Netflix show, and it's really hard to watch.
I'm gonna watch it this weekend, and then I'm gonna temper the darkness with Selling Sunset.
Oh, Selling Sunset, by the way, the season three, they show the preview for season three at the end of season two, and it looks actually wild.
Wow. Like, so it's like being a ramped up. It's like a ramp up into just like Psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
I love
it. What the main girl, the main like head queen of the show, Christine, actually followed me on Twitter recently and like started tweeting at me with gifs of herself. And I was like, so I followed her back.
I love that. A union. Imagine in heaven.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
But yeah, the Epstein documentary is everyone... I think it's probably important to watch, even though it's like, I say probably because it's not like a light watch.
So I read a lot of stuff about him. Where does it go? Does it go deeper into like the mechanics of how everything worked and like his?
Yeah. You talk stuff. I'm on episode two, but they interview a lot of the young girls that he was paying for sex when he in Palm Beach, because he would, again, trigger warning, I know, like it's not an easy subject to just be lightly talking about, but you find out that he moved into Palm Beach and then was preying on teen girls from the high school in West Palm Beach, which is like more middle class.
Mm-hmm.
These like vulnerable teen girls, and then paying them to like have sex with him and like his cohorts.
Yeah.
And they were all like 14 and 15.
And then he would pay them to recruit their friends.
Yeah. So you talk to some of these women who are now in their like 30s and 40s, and they just, it's like very, I mean, they're so brave for talking about it, but they're so like broken from it. And it's really hard. And fucking Ghislaine Maxwell is an evil demon.
Yeah.
Who I hope that they find her someday, because she's as bad as he.
I hope they find her and she sings like a canary and outs like everyone involved. Because, you know, like Prince Andrew, there's no doubt in my mind he was fully involved. I think Bill Clinton.
Yeah. And I think Hillary absolutely knew about it, probably.
I'm sure she did.
I'm sure Harvey Weinstein probably knew him at some point.
I think if you're like very, very wealthy and running in those circles, you know full well, it's very much like you're like, oh yeah, he like loves like teenage girls or whatever.
And they talk about his obvious friendship with fucking Donald Trump, because these two like, because they actually interview James Patterson, the writer, because he lives in Palm Beach and he's like a Palm Beach, like he's like Mr. Palm Beach. And they kind of discuss, and then then I'll stop talking about it, but they kind of discuss Epstein was like kind of just a poser who like they call him like new money, and that he moved into this historically like old money Palm Beach enclave and tried to like establish himself there, like just like Donald Trump did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were obviously like immediately friends because they were both like fame fuckers basically and like wanted to be considered in like the upper echelon.
Yeah.
And so like Donald Trump was definitely like, anyway, at Mar-a-Lago and all that.
Oof. Yeah, I think his ties run way deeper than anyone could ever even imagine.
And speaking of ties running deep,
we have Jax FaceTiming, and he looks like a melted out or a methed out Wolverine in quarantine.
Jax is like, I'm so, like, I was just watching him in these videos. I'm like, oh, you know that you look like a total psycho this season, and like you're in quarantine and you're trying to like be like, hey guys, how's it going? You know, yeah, like he was playing. So I was like, fake. Shut, stop.
Yeah. It's completely inauthentic and like terrifying because it's laced with rage.
Laced with rage and desperation to seem like not dark-hearted.
Yeah, lean into the fucking darkness. It works for you. Like, it's worked better for you than trying to be not dark.
Yeah, he's actually less dark when he's, like, openly admitting to being, like, evil.
Yeah, he just has to embrace his shadow.
No, and then just maybe by embracing your shadow, he can actually find some redemptive qualities in himself.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to be...
His secrets revealed is that he will never allow himself to be alone with him and Brittany's kids.
Oh, yeah. They're talking about procreating, which was...
Which is, like, good fucking luck with that. Brittany literally is a fully blown, like, alcoholic. Like, I think just fits exactly the description of what an alcoholic is. And, like... But then he's like, yeah, you can't leave me alone. Like, there always has to be someone else, like, or you'll be home all the time. And it seems like I would buy it if they, I mean, maybe they've talked about this before, but it seems like they don't talk about much in their relationship. So it's not a stretch to think that, like, this is the first time they've ever had a conversation about, like, how they would want to raise their children, like, what their parenting style would be.
Yeah, you know, I almost saw a flash of, I mean, this is just my theory, but like a flash of OCD, and because I have some OCD, and I feel like Jax already has like intrusive thoughts about like hurting his kids or something,
mm-hmm. or not being able to handle it,
and I think it's actually coming from a place of like terror at the idea of like being responsible for a human life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's already, because it seems like he has like major like obsessive thinking.
Yeah.
He's probably already working these scenarios and he's like, oh, what if I leave him in the car, you know, or like some kind of shit. And he's already like, because I think at his core, Jax is like he loves to punish himself.
Yeah. He's very self-destructive. And I think
he's like self-flagellating. And I think that was him being like, you can't leave me with, like, I think it's like he doesn't trust himself, so why would he trust himself as a dad?
Yeah. And he wants to reinforce that narrative, the negative narrative that it's like, you can't do this or you're not good enough to be responsible for a child or...
I just think it's a horrible thing to say to your wife or like your partner or like who wants to clear, you know, have kids.
Yeah, this is something you would speak on in therapy, not in front of a camera crew. But this also sounds like he's really coked out. So he could have just, like, he's so congested in this scene that it's like he could have just done a fat rail before they filmed. And now he's just saying this, like, because he seems like the kind of person that just says random things out of nowhere. Like the night before you were lying in bed and you were like, I can't wait to have kids with you. And like, when I go grocery shopping, he's like, I'll watch them and like, we'll play football in the yard and you have like a beautiful night and you kiss and go to sleep. And then the next day during filming, he's like, you leave him alone. Like, I'm not doing that. And you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Where was this last night?
Yeah. Like, I feel like he just says things out of nowhere.
Yeah. And also I love that he had a cold. Also, there's a in the season three teaser for Going Back to Selling Sunset, which I'm obsessed with. They show that one of the girls, Chriselle, who's married to Justin Hartley from This Is Us, they got divorced recently, and they like show her. It's like part a big plot is like their divorce, and they did this like they inserted this AVR or whatever to it's this narrator going,
Chriselle Stratton,
and it sounds like someone has like a AI has a cold, and it's the outside. It's I was screaming.
Oh my god! Like, yes,
the world is reeling over news of Chriselle Strauss's, you know, sudden separation from TV star Justin Hartley, and it's like it's clearly like reeled. A robot.
Also, like, what world was reeling? Like, I've never heard of these people in my life.
And she's like, everyone in the world knows about our divorce. I was like, honey.
The world has 6 billion people in it. And, like, maybe 100 of those people care about you specifically.
Anyway, but yeah, Jax, that was a weird...
It was weird. He told Brittany she's not going to be a single mom, but she's going to be pretty close. Which is truly a bonkers thing to say to your newlywed wife.
I love it. He's already planning on being a distant father.
Yeah, great. Can't wait. Amazing. Yeah. Stassi and Sheena meet up at a tea parlor.
Well, Sheena and Stassi, when they FaceTime, I got so triggered by Stassi's echo in her house. I was like, God, her house is fucking huge now. Like, her voice just echoes in her lofty home.
I think also she doesn't have any furniture right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
I wasn't that jealous of, like, her, like, echoey house. Because then when she FaceTimed with Katie, I just was like, oh, my God, this house is, like, filled. Like, shabby chic is, like, the vibe of this house. And I truly, like, I can't with a shabby chic moment.
No, I'm not into the decor. I'm into, like, the... I was just, like, triggered by, like, wow, she...
Like, it's a big house. Like,
she owns a house in the hills. Yeah. But Sheena's like, yeah, Sheena's FaceTiming, I think, from her Palm Springs house. And she goes, where she told us she was going to on her show.
Yeah.
God, it's so crazy that we got to see her, like, right before all this happened. But
we've been with Sheena through thick and thin at this point.
I actually feel, like, bonded with her from that.
Me too. Like, I'm now just, like, a diehard Sheena stan. This podcast is just going to become shenanigans. Lara Marie Shane Hall's shenanigans. And it just is a podcast of me fawning over Sheena.
I'd listen. She goes,
thank God I brought that wine to the tea store that day, because what else would we have drunk?
And then you cut to them meeting each other.
And
they look like they actually have fun.
Yeah, like, they're friendly towards each other. I like seeing them, like, hang out and, like, get tea. Like, again, I was, like, excited by this scene and the fact that, like, Stassi was like, yeah, that Dana girl. Like, finally, it was, like, we got to see that Stassi doesn't know her, because they never did that. Like, they would just cut, they would, like, have Dana and Stassi, like, talking at an event. And it's, like, do you even, like, know each other? You're literally just, like, being posed as though... your friends, kind of.
Yeah. What was she saying about Dana?
Dana said she could fully see herself in a relationship with a woman once she met Sheena's best friend, Janet.
Oh, yeah. So the big secret is Stassi tells the story of Dana telling her that in a span of 24 hours, she confirmed her bisexuality.
She... was like with Max, and then she met Janet and she wanted to have a threesome with Janet, and said also that she knew she was bisexual because Janet, like, she met Janet and realized that she could be in a relationship with her, and then asked Janet if she wanted to have a threesome with her and Max. And I'm like, okay, Dana, like, I wish they had shown more of Dana just being truly sketchy like this, because I do think it's weird that Dana is, like, targeting all these people that have been, like, more in Sheena's realm than Dana's realm.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Like, obviously, if Sheena and Max are broken up, they're both fair game. But then to, like, kind of be like, oh, it just feels like, even if it's true, what are you trying to do here?
Yeah, I think anyone, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, are you trying to fuck everyone in my life?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is really weird. Also, I just thought it was like, I believe her that she's bi, but I was like, I thought she talked about, she said that she met Janet, and then when she was like, oh, I'm bi.
I think she was maybe not sure if she could, she was attracted to women, but maybe not sure if she could be in a relationship with
right.
a woman.
Right. Oh,
and then
okay,
she
okay,
met
okay.
Janet and was like, oh, I could definitely be in a relationship with a woman.
Right. And is Janet gay?
I don't know. Janet seems like the real voice we haven't heard this whole season.
Yeah, I'm this wild card.
Yeah. And then Stassi shares a view on threesomes, which was troubling, to say the least. She goes, aren't threesomes just something where you're so shit-faced and then it just happens? Like, no one chooses to have a threesome. You just do it when you're, like, almost blackout.
Yeah.
I was like, Stassi. Her views on, like, sex and sexuality are, like, very like a kid, like it's like right on teetering on the ledge of like rape at all times.
Yeah, that was
I was
really
like, honey, no.
I went oh. Oh. No.
Yeah, I was like, honey.
Yeah, she was not a fan.
For being like, no one could possibly ever choose to have a threesome with someone else.
I know, it was truly weird. Sheena was like, what? Sheena didn't really like him either, right?
I don't know. Well, Sheena had said on her podcast that she like never enjoyed sex, really. Like, she never had an orgasm until very recently, like in the last year or something. So I think sex was more of a performance for her than really, like, pleasurable, which is an interesting thing. But I'm into, like, the emancipation of Sheena Shea.
Who made her orgasm? Was it Robert Parks Valletta?
I think it was Robert Parks Valletta.
Maybe that's why she was so...
Maybe.
Like,
and
attached,
like,
to him.
He allegedly took her anal virginity, which is, like, a big deal.
Yeah. And also, like, he played with her heart.
Mm-hmm. He played with her heart and mounted a TV.
He mounted a TV.
In 7 minutes, and things were never the same.
They had anal sex with her, played with her heart, mounted a TV, and then had a home in studio.
Yeah.
Had a home in Studio City.
And is the brother of Amber Valletta.
Which is the most interesting thing about him, in my opinion.
Same. I'm like, get me closer to Amber, please.
A queen.
Whatever it takes.
A true supermodel.
A true, one of the most iconic supermodels in the history of modeling.
She was in like Shalom Harlow's era, right?
Mm-hmm. She was like 90s, 90s waif era models.
Was Jamie King in that era?
Mm-hmm. I've been going down a real Jamie King K-hole recently.
She has a wild Instagram. I saw her. She and I have the same birthday. And I saw her at a restaurant. That was my last. Oh, whoa.
Oh, I would fully.
I saw her at a Japanese restaurant. And I went. I looked and I went. Oh, whoa. I went, oh, and then I backed up against the wall and went, and then my body just went down the hall, went down the wall, and then around the corner, and then into the, I scuttled away.
I send only good vibes towards Jamie, and I root for all supermodels.
Let me confirm that she and I have the same birthday, because I think we do. Yep, April 23rd.
Oh, I love it.
A fellow Taurus queen. My Taurus sister. No Kristen in this episode.
Oh my god, yeah. No Dodie. What's
furious.
Hmm. That's pretty rude. Lisa and Jax are FaceTiming, or Jax FaceTimes with Lisa, and you see Brittany. Oh my God, is that a Theragun?
Yep.
Ugh, I'm so jealous.
Get it. It's amazing.
Oh my God, I want one so bad.
It's so good. Who FaceTimes Lisa? Jax?
Jax FaceTimes Lisa, and you see Brittany scuttle past in the background. She's like,
ha!
And then runs away, and he's like, Brittany, you're my vodka. And then Lisa's like, I have to shut down my businesses. This is so hard. And then you have a scene of her suspending Danica.
Brittany in the background goes, ha! And she runs upstairs, closes the door, turns off all the lights, draws the vertical blinds, and just sits in the corner and goes,
she's like a little rat. She sticks to the floorboards in the corners of the house, like, all through quarantine. She's basically, like, yellow wallpaper, like, the very last scene in the yellow wallpaper where, like, someone walks in and the woman's just, like, crawling around on the floor, like, muttering to herself and has, like, fully lost the plot. It's, like, Brittany, now at week 10.
She crab walks everywhere now.
Oh, she crab walks to the fridge and then pulls out the ice drawer. And where her tequila is stored, and pours herself a little shot, shoots it, and then crab walks away. It goes.
Jax goes, Brittany?
Britt! He hasn't seen her in days. He'll lose track of her for days at a time.
You hear. Hey, Britt! Okay, just stay up there for now, okay? I gotta talk to Lisa.
She's gonna. And he was like, I think she's in the pool. And Brittany crab walks into the pool and then just sits on the bottom of the pool for hours.
And let that little bubbles like crabs do when they're underwater.
Yeah, she just sits there, and he's like. Goes outside and he's like, well, sun's coming down, like, you're gonna get out of the pool soon. And then just little bubbles come to the surface, and it's just Brittany's been sitting at the deep end for literally like the past 10 hours.
Jax goes, all right, I'll leave the lights on underwater. Come up before bed at least. And then Jax just kind of like leaves a plate of chicken wings out. And a little dipping like thing of ranch.
Yeah, some chicken wings, some ranch. He leaves like a little bottle, like a mini bottle of vodka or a mini bottle of like tequila for her.
And all of a sudden you just see there's silence, and then you just see just Brittany's claw hand come up, drag it into the pool, and then go to the bottom again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she just goes like
and then, like little like chicken bones.
Yeah,
little chicken bones pop up.
Yeah. On the surface. She stayed in the bottom of the pool for 2 weeks now.
When you go under it, she's like this.
She's only come up to FaceTime for the Secrets Revealed episodes, and then it's back to scuttling around.
Yeah, Lisa's like, it's so hard to be closing all my businesses down. It's so hard.
It's hard. Like, it wasn't that. It's not that hard. Like, you just shut them down without telling anyone. And then, like, you haven't you didn't pay anyone. So that seems pretty easy. That seems like kind of the best case scenario for you and Ken as business owners.
You know, I was a little bummed they didn't talk about Schwartz and Sandoval, like, raising all that money.
Oh, why would they? They don't want to bring attention to the fact. I mean, that would just bring attention to the fact that they didn't pay any of their employees when they shut their restaurants down.
That's very true.
Left it to two people that own collectively 5% of that restaurant to like raise money for the employees.
Yeah.
One of their restaurants.
If you want to pay them, then darlings, you must find a way to do it yourselves.
You must do it then. It's been hard for me.
It's been hard for me. Isn't she like in her garden at this point?
She's like in her one of her. She's like in her huge closet.
It's been. I'm been in the closet for 2 days now. I'm reorganizing my closet, and then you see it. It's like completely trashed. We've had to send what's her
Rosia.
We have to send Rosia home. So it's just been up to me to wear all the hats in the household.
Me and the horses. Me and the ponies.
I let the pony sleep in my bed with Ken. Jax is like, okay, I'm gonna go.
He's like, cool.
Jax has bigger crabs to fry.
He has a literal crab wife at the bottom of his pool that he's been trying to lure out. He like goes fishing. He like tries to like put a net down there. He's like put a trap down there to like get her out.
Remember South Park? Crab people, crab people. No.
No, what was that?
It was like, it was this episode of South Park where this was like back in like 2003 and they had the Queer Eye guys on, mm-hmm. like the original. And then you realize that they're actually underground crab people who are trying to destroy the human race. And they go, crab people, crab. We're crabs who are people.
I love it.
And then we
when she gets suspended, I love to when Lisa's like, she's like, why did you get physical with Brett Willis? And apparently he like asked Danica if she was still game to have a threesome or something. And then Lisa goes, you should have said, stop right there. I'm a manager. And then she suspends Danica and Danica goes, that like ruins my life, which I think is exactly what Dodie said too when she was suspended in like season one or two.
Yeah, Brett Willis, who's so hot, brings over, I think he's really charred and sexy.
He is a true, he's
charred as fuck. He looks like someone that like lived through the future battle in Terminator.
Yeah,
like
he's a toasted marshmallow of a man.
But I'm like into it.
You know who Danica is, I realized?
Who?
She and Cola Scola are the same person.
She's so good.
She is like Cola Scola could play her.
Oh, he would do a great Danica.
He'd do an amazing Danica. And I was like, that I think is why she looks familiar to me, or why I like take to her, is because I just see Cola Scola in like a wig.
Oh my god, him venturing into Vanderpump would be...
It would be world... Like, the universe would explode.
By the way, if you haven't watched Cola Scola's YouTube special, it's, like, the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, I need to watch that. Need to watch that.
It's just, like, a 50-minute... Like, he just does a bunch of characters, and it's amazing.
Ugh, God love him.
But, yeah, Danica's, like... Brett Willis brings over Lisa a glass of tea, and it's like water with honey in it.
Milk.
Lisa goes, there's no tea in the tea. She goes, now I'll drink this tea that has no tea, I guess.
Quite possibly the worst cup of tea I've ever had.
Quite possibly the worst cup of tea I've ever had. Brett, now you go tell Danica that I'd like to speak with please, thank you. And then Danica comes over and she's like, hi.
And then the axe comes down on her.
But you can tell Lisa kind of likes her, though.
Lisa likes anyone that's going to start... Like, Danica isn't disrespectful to Lisa, but she will start drama, so Lisa likes that. I think the problem with Kristen is that she, like, wouldn't put up with any of Lisa's bullshit. I hope that Dodie busts the, like, Lisa starting fires and, like, orchestrating, like, huge break-ins to her restaurant and cars driving in. I hope Detective Dodie gets on the case and busts that shit wide open.
I hope Dodie, like, gets her fucking book made into, like, a movie and, like, becomes more famous than everyone.
I hope that our in our vision of Dodie living in a mansion in Silicon Valley with no walls comes true.
Yeah.
That she gets to be so rich that she just lives in a house with no walls.
I hope Dodie gets so rich that she gets uploaded.
Mm-hmm. And she becomes the next MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm. That's her best revenge.
Yeah.
On all these fucking people.
I'm skipping over Stassi's scene with her sister because I truly don't give a shit.
Yeah. Truly no.
And then Brittany and Stassi FaceTime, and Brittany is also incredibly congested. And then Stassi, I truly, my jaw was on the floor during this part of the show because Stassi goes so casually, she goes, "So how many times have you thrown up since quarantine?" And I thought that she was going to reveal that Brittany was pregnant.
And me too.
I was like, oh my God, this is how we're doing it. And then Brittany goes, "I've been doing good. Even on my drunk days, I haven't been getting sick." And then she goes, I'm just not getting sick like randomly anymore. And then we realized that Brittany
again
has been having such bad stomach issues that every single time she drinks, she wakes up at 7 a.m. and pukes every half hour until 10 p.m.
It's actually unbelievable and made me sick to my stomach because I was just imagining her throwing up in their house and how there's probably just been throw up everywhere. And then imagining them just getting like blackout together. Laura's face right now. And like,
Brittany just takes like what, like 10 shots a night and just gets fucking obliterated. Just like, I mean, I think a cocktail, her thinking is so backwards. I'm like, you are one of the reasons that people make fun of like dumb Southerners because you're literally like, you are dumb for doing this. Why aren't you drinking like a cocktail would be actually better to drink than just a straight shot of alcohol?
Yeah, the juice and like whatever sweet flavor was added would like lessen the blow, I feel like.
But also, I mean,
it's unbelievable though that she, and like we see a flashback of Maloney and Stassi taking her yet again to another acid reflux doctor, and he's like, "Yeah, you really shouldn't drink," and she's like, again, for the second year in a row, she's like, damn, right before we go to Vegas, and last year it was damn, right before we go to Mexico. I was like, why do you always go to the doctor right before a trip where you know you're going to be binge drinking?
Yeah, and like,
remember that when they went to Mexico?
Yeah, oh, and she was like, it was the same deal. Like, then it cuts like, and she's like,
honey.
Kara's like, who wants a shot? And Brittany's like, bull.
3 days later. And it's just like, it's like, this is the definition of insanity, and there is a program that talks about that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like doing it over and over again, expecting different results, and you don't get the only result you get is you puking in your bathroom at 7 a.m.
I think, too, some of the symptoms are like, tied to emotions. And I think it's like a lot has to do with her emotions regarding her relationship with Jax. Because clearly it's like, I think I remember Brittany saying she takes shots because she just doesn't even like the taste of alcohol. So she can just do it really fast and get it over with as opposed to like sipping on a cocktail. But I'm like, honey, that's also a sign from the heavens. Like, you and drinking don't mix. But then also it's like, well, we all know that Jax loves to drink and loves to party. And I don't think he's the kind of person you can be with as a sober person. And I think even if she was sober, like, part of her desire to drink has to do with like just shoving the feelings down of I'm with the wrong person. Like, and then
yeah,
I think
and like,
the symptoms kind of going away during quarantine is like, well, you're forced to be together. He physically like cannot leave you. Like, there's no fear involved in the situation because like there's nowhere to go. So you're forced together. So you don't have that anxiety. So maybe you don't have to drink as much, or maybe like those symptoms aren't showing up as much. I think that it's interesting that during this time, unless she's, and she also just could be totally lying because she admits that she's lied to like several doctors in the past.
Yeah, she brings, she's like, I brought my girls here to keep me honest. I'm like, honey, like, that is not good.
That's not healthy.
You have an issue. Like, I used to lie on those like alcohol online tests.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, you know, and like that, I was always like, I think everyone does, but I was just like when, if you have to lie to your doctor and you have to bring your friends to like keep you honest, like that's, I think it's a little twisted. And I also think, yeah, I think Jax is one of those people that would like make you feel guilty for being sober and like would be really insecure and feel like you're judging him. So he would like make your life hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he would probably, so I think she gets annihilated to keep up with him.
Yeah. I think she's damned if she does, damned if she doesn't. Like, I think he also probably is like a dick to her when she's sick the next day. And he's like, why'd you do that? Like, why are you drinking? And like, blah, blah, blah. Cause Stassi's like, what's the point of going to the doctor if you're not going to do anything they say? And Brittany goes, I don't know. And then Jax is like, yeah, that's what I said. Like, you know that either she's fucked either way.
Yeah. It's really
great. Great. Best. Last thing I want to hear before I go to Vegas. And he's like, you can't have balsamic vinaigrette dressing. And she's like, oh, all my favorite things.
And then Stassi goes, can you still have ranch? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, thank God.
Oh, Stassi, shut up, please, for God's sake. Find a new shtick.
Find a new shtick. Find a new shtick.
Find a new
shtick.
Stassi needs to, like, hire a fucking group of people to give her, like, 5 ideas a day of just something new that she could be obsessed with.
She could fucking afford it, so what? She might as well.
Yeah, like, okay, we know you love Game of Thrones, you love ranch dressing so much, but find something else.
Find a new shtick. Doesn't she like refer to people as like Meghan Markles in her basic book? Didn't you and Simon read a passage?
We read several passages, but that a lot of what I read in that book had to go in one ear and out the other. Like it came into my life and left as quickly as I like. I immediately, as soon as I finished it, I was like, get this out of my life, and just like gave it away to someone and never looked back. I was like, I can't have this around. I can't retain anything. I was just like, this is offensive to the entire literary profession.
Well, I was gonna say Meghan Markle and Prince Harry just filed a complaint with the LAPD that drones have been flying over their house.
Mm-hmm. I saw that graphic that you posted of them.
The drones flying everywhere.
There's a drone.
That's fun.
And then we cut to
Jax and James have like a forced FaceTime conversation that made me truly uncomfortable and in my bones.
I went, ah!
No.
Well, okay, I love seeing James pick up Raquel from work.
Mm-hmm.
That was hot to me. James looked hot in quarantine.
James is hot. Like, I have been saying that, honestly, and now, guess what?
James fucks,
and he and Raquel have wild sex.
They do. They're like more in love now in his sobriety than they've ever been.
I love it. Raquel goes,
I'm hot for James and Raquel.
I'm hot for them, too. Raquel's like, I don't know if I'm an excellent waitress, but I'm better than when I started. I used to write goat cheese balls, but now I just write out GB. And I was like, Raquel is a genius. There's no other way to interpret that.
Goat balls.
And then James is waiting in the car, and you hear this horrific rap song.
Top it's man. Like, he's a top man. Jeez, kid. Let me get you in the jet. You'll be well fed.
You'll be, oh no, in the chair. You'll be well fed.
I thought it was the jet.
Oh, there was a chair.
So it's like, in the chair, you'll be well fed. You think like a high chair, like a baby chair, like a high seat for a baby.
And then James picks Raquel up. It's so hot. They, like, make out in the parking lot. And then he drives her home. And he goes, so who was all there tonight? Who'd you work with? And at one point, Raquel goes, he goes, babe, you're, like, the hottest girl in L.A. And she goes, I'm, like, think I might be the hottest girl at Sir. And I was like, oh, my God.
And he goes, ah, I've been saying that. I've been saying that. And I was like, oh, my God. This is relationship, true relationship goals.
And Raquel's is like,
she is the hottest girl.
She is the hottest girl. She's the smartest girl, hottest girl.
Oh, man, I've been saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. They went home and just, like, banged it out.
Mm-hmm.
They celebrated. Yeah.
You're a top girl.
Top man. And she said, let me get you in the jet. Keep you well fed.
What else happened? I like blacked out the rest, I think.
Charlie and Sheena chat.
Oh.
And then we have the true MVP scene of the entire Secrets Revealed app.
Of the entire season.
Where Charlie shits on people. She lines them up. She is that Nicki Minaj song that's like shitted on him. That's what she does also in the scene.
Or that song, her song Lookin', where she's out in the desert. She just, it's her, Brett, and Dana like folding napkins before the shift. And it's a wild moment because Dana and Charlie get into it, and we see Charlie is not to be fucked with.
Come out, and Charlie will literally shut you the fuck down. First, Brett comes in, and she goes with his curly fucking hair. And then everyone's like, ooh, your hair. And Charlie goes, it looks like you came from Vanderpump Dogs.
Charlie also says at one point she thanks her grandmother, who's forgiving her, like, witch powers.
Mm-hmm. Concepcion Rodriguez gave her the powers to see everyone's shit.
And she goes, and Brett's is smelly, which I love.
Yeah, she knew. She has the gift.
And so she and Jaina.
Jaina.
She and Dana just start going at it. And they start talking about pasta. And then Charlie's like, and then Jaina's like, oh, don't get her started on pasta again. And she's like, I just think pasta, it's like really heavy. And like, it makes your poop really heavy.
She goes, I love Dana too, like getting mad about the pasta thing. Like, it's like, okay, clearly you already have, like, this spoke to your own insecurities so badly that you, like, can't let it go. It's one of those things, like, I thought it was hysterical, but you know, sometimes someone says something that annoys you so much and it gets under your skin and it's really more about you than it is about them.
Yeah, like every day of my life.
Yeah, the pasta was way more about Dana than it was about Charlie. It's not about the pasta. And then Dana's like, so you're just like fat shaming me, like body shaming me. And she's like, that's not what I meant. I meant that you can't poop it out. And then she's like, there's nothing better than being able to poop every day. Like, and pasta just like, and I was like, she's fucking right. Like, in quarantine, I've been eating a lot of pasta, and there are days that I haven't pooped. And like,
yeah, I've started taking probiotic.
Yeah.
Charlie, it's been hard. Constipation is on high in lockdown.
Yeah.
And she goes,
you can go eat Olive Garden. We'll see how you look in 10 years.
she also goes, Brett, his shit smells. And it probably does because he's like vegan or some shit. And then she says pasta is what's wrong with America. And then Dana goes, pasta, our menu is mostly pasta based.
Yeah, Charlie hates all the food on the menu. She literally, there was a scene of her, I think, being like, telling people like not to get certain things on the menu.
She goes, what are you, like, from Portland or something?
She goes, both of your lips have been open ever since you touched down from Portland, and I would keep one of them shut. And I think she meant her mouth lips and her pussy lips.
Yeah. and then Dana goes, I'm actually from Seattle. And she goes, I don't care. You can go to Olive Garden in Seattle.
And then she gets up. See how you look in 10 years.
And then Dana
Danica
looks like she's about to cry.
Tells her to go home. Yeah, she goes. Charlie goes, "You're like 30, working in a restaurant, like," which is.
And then Dana
really
goes, "Yeah, cruel." She was like, "Yeah, I'm starting my life over."
Starting from what? Like, okay, but would love to know more.
And then Charlie leaves.
Then Danica dismisses Charlie, like tells her she's cut and that she needs to go home. And Charlie goes, "Thank you. I'll gladly go home, dumb whores." And then she goes, breaks a glass, knocks a glass onto the ground. She goes, "Oh, broke that. You can clean that up, Dana. Go be the peasant that you are." We didn't know.
The rage. She pulls a total Jonathan Chabon and calls someone a peasant.
She fully goes there into
she goes full uncharted food god. Territory.
Food god. Charlie still, is the food god of this, of Vanderpump Rules. Food goddess.
I can see Jonathan Chabon being like, "Pasta sucks." He also blocked me on Instagram.
Oh my god, amazing. He's like the Jax of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and then Charlie is the Chabon of Vanderpump.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jonathan Chabon literally told some troll that he was a worker.
But like, that troll was his insult. A worker?
He goes, "You're okay, worker."
That's wild. Okay.
Man of the people.
Yeah.
So then that's amazing.
That's like Kim Kardashian's best friend.
I know. And then, so then that scene is incredible. And then Lisa has to sit down with Charlie.
Charlie.
She goes, "I heard you a little cheeky the other day. And that you've been showing up late to work.
And you missed your shift." Then Charlie's like, "It was a mistake. And blah, blah, blah." And basically, Lisa tells her, like, it's okay to be cheeky. But then she was mad that Charlie asked Brett if Lisa farts when they work out.
Everyone's insecure. Charlie asked the
girl. Charlie literally just says things and lights up your insecurities. And Lisa likes the cheekiness, but she didn't like Charlie taking it that far.
"If there's one thing I won't tolerate, it's poop."
She goes, "Is that what you're worried about? The fact that I pass wind?"
That was really, it wasn't about her being late. It was about, she questioned if Lisa rips ass.
Yeah, it was a fart. It was a fart problem more than anything. I love that.
Charlie asked the real questions.
She is getting to the like, bottom of things.
I didn't even think, like, when she asked Brett that question, I was like, yeah, I kind of want to know that now too.
Yeah, I'd love to know. Lisa goes, "I think a lot of people work at Sir view it as a stepping stone." And I wrote, "To where, hell?" Like,
well, then she goes, "But I want to make sure that they take this as their priority." I'm like, okay.
Nice. Okay. Sure, Lisa. Whatever you say. When she's asking Charlie to explain, like, why she hates Brett so much, and Charlie gives, like, the abridged history, and she goes, "Brett asked me out," and I was like, "Okay, fine, fair enough." Which I love, fair enough, as a response of, like, someone showing interest in you. You're like, fair enough.
Incredible.
Truly, every word that comes out of her mouth is magic.
Where was she? They deprived us.
They actually did. They are sitting on a pot of fucking gold. And truly, she can rile people up so easily. Like, all she has to be is, like, she doesn't even say a statement. She just asks a question. And then, like, even Lisa got her panties in a twist.
And they're not like, oh, did she fuck him or did he fuck her? It's, does she fart?
Does she like, fart when she works out with you? And then it's like fully, she doesn't even say anything either. Yeah, like she's like, "I don't like pasta, like I've never eaten it in my life." And then it,
and then you see Dana's the tears in Dana's eyes. Dana was like on the verge of tears.
Yeah, fully self-combusted.
I'm from Seattle.
I'm actually from Seattle, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I'm starting my... She also goes, you're like 38. She didn't just say 30.
38?
She goes, you're like... I think she said you're 38 and you're like working at a restaurant.
I love your 38 to Dana, who's like 29.
Dana's like 12.
I'm actually from Seattle, so what are you saying?
What are you saying?
Oh, God. Is that what you're worried about? The fact that I pass wind?
Pass wind. And then...
Then Jax and Stassi are forced to FaceTime. And then... Stassi's like, I'm drinking every day. And then Jax is like, I'm actually inhaling things. And I was like, are you just like fully admitting that you're doing blow now? But I think he meant that he's like smoking weed. But that's a weird way. I've never heard someone say.
Or like food. Inhaling. You're talking about like inhaling food.
All seemed weird. Their conversation made me also physically uncomfortable.
Yeah, I did like it.
And then he and Bo had like a snooze combo about a stupid tattoo.
Kind of it.
That was pretty much it. There's a moment where Jax is in Vegas and he leans over, coked the fuck out to Schwartz, and he goes, your wife's got an amazing ass, juicy, people pay for asses like that. And I was like, what?
you went yeah, that's, I also think Katie probably hated hearing that.
No one, I mean, aren't wives like off, like you don't talk about the wives, you know what I mean? Like you just like,
but he can, Schwartz,
isn't that rule number one of hetero hell? You don't talk about the wives.
But Schwartz would never like stand up to him.
No, he's like, oh man, that's Bubba.
Oh boy. Oh.
Like pushes his sunglasses, his like glasses up.
Now he's like, it's Pat.
Oh,
the craziest character ever!
I was like, these are the show of losers.
I can't.
It's all losers. Then Sheena and Charlie. Sheena made the right choice by. Oh, and Danica getting on Charlie's good side. Like, Sheena joined forces with Charlie out the gates. Was like, I'm not letting this bitch say shit about me.
She did it with Kara, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sheena knows.
Sheena knows where the bread is buttered and, like, where the show's headed. I think that Charlie's, like, somewhat psychic. Sheena is channeling something as well. Or she'll trust a guru. And then Kara. Danica is truly a bat out of hell. I want Danica to load them in her breathalyzer car and speed off into the night, shooting a gun into the air.
And Kara's just like a rogue demon.
Yeah, Kara just pops up whenever you least expect it and goes,
it's all fine. It's fine.
Everything's okay.
Oh my god. Well, I guess we have the reunions now, right?
Yeah, Zoom reunion. Who do you think Max slept with? Who do you, like, the big confessions coming of, like, who else Max fucked? I kind of hope it's Dodie, but I don't think it is. It could be. I mean, they didn't show, like, Charlie in the reaction. They didn't show Danica in the reaction.
Yeah, I think it's either. I think it's one of them.
One of the new girls.
Because everyone else is.
Everyone else is, like, married. Yeah, so,
or it's Janet.
Janet.
Or someone else. It'd be amazing if it was a friend of. Yeah. Well.
But that's about it that we have to look forward to until who knows if we'll get when the next season will even happen.
I want everyone to stream Chromatica when it comes out at midnight.
Yeah, please. If you are listening right now, I hope that you stream Chromatica and just turn the volume down even when you're not listening to it and just let it keep streaming. I want it to get 40 billion streams.
We need to get a number one album out of this.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that it's coming out, because when it was supposed to come out and it was postponed, I was like, God, that's so far away. And then now here we are, and time just passes and takes us all prisoner one by one.
Thank God for it, though. Mm-hmm. You can follow me at Lady Gaga on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow Lars at Ariana Grande at Twitter and Instagram.
And that's that.
Ta-ta for now.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm so delighted to be on your podcast.
It's wonderful to have you on the podcast, darling.
Thank you, Lars.
Thank you, Katie.
Bye.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling, 'cause I know I know I'm feeling, 'cause I know I know.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp, or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.